Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Bonkers Brit. This week, I'm so excited. I've got my two best friends. They're in England, and so we're meeting via Zoom, and I'm going to introduce them both. Yes, I'm so excited. So first of all, I've got Tania. Tania and I met really when we were in fetus, in vitro, whatever it's called, in the bloody stomach of our mums, because both our mums went to school together and both our dads went to school together. So we've known each other since we were born. We used to push our prams outside the house and things. And both of us have got older siblings. I've got an older sister, Sue. That's the keep shoveling sister. And Tania's got an older brother, Craig, who was really horrible to you, wasn't he?
Vile. Hi, Claire.
And then also we've got Bucket, or B, as she's like to know. Obviously, everyone else calls her B, but Tania and I have called her Bucket for 40 years, and it's really hard to change to B. So we call her Bucket, and we met her when we were 11 at boarding school. Hi, Bucket.
Hello, lovely to be here.
And you don't mind us calling you Bucket, do you?
No, that's great. I immediately go back to boarding school.
Bucket. And that's what we're going to talk about, so that's perfect. So we met at boarding school when we were all 11. No, Tania, you were 10, weren't you?
I was 10, yeah.
Yeah, I was 11, and you were 11, Claire, weren't you?
Yes. And we all got put in the same dormitory at boarding school, which was
Rose Room.
And there were 7 beds in there. So Tania and I obviously knew that we were going to meet each other, because that's why we all went to that same school, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Mum picked it because Susie was already there, and then you and I joined the year after.
Yeah. And you were actually, because you're 6 months younger, I was like the youngest person in my year, because I was only 2 weeks before I would have been in your year, because my birthday's in August.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it had eight beds?
7.
Tania, you're good at details, aren't you?
Yeah, Tania's always had the best memory I can remember. Bucket, yes. Might be hopeless, really. And I don't know quite why, but we all just thought you were amazing, Bucket, and we just instantly gravitated towards you. I think because you're a little bit odd.
Little bit.
Rather not.
I do remember the beds were those horrible horsehair mattresses. Do you remember that?
They were, yes, really horrible,
and had bits of spiky horsehair that used to stick into your body. Sorry to interrupt, but I just immediately that flashed back in my head.
And they had that dip in the middle, didn't they? They were so saggy and old.
Yeah, they molded to your own body, didn't they? So at the beginning of term, the minute you, your first couple of nights, and then after that, it was just your shape and nobody else's.
And Tim got there for the next term, and then you had to fit somebody else's body shape, didn't,
yes,
you? And we had sheets and blankets, and they were all scratchy and horrible, weren't they?
Very, yes, scratchy, yes, yes.
And but we, it was only a very, very long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think even duvets have been invented yet.
Sorry, in times.
So to let everyone know, this was 1972 that I started boarding school.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? It was so different because we didn't have any possessions. We weren't allowed any possessions, were we? Just like one...
Well, Three things on your dressing table.
You're so good at detail. You're so good. 3 things. So, and was that 3, our teddy and 3 things?
No, you could have a teddy, but I think you were only meant to have 1, maybe 2 teddies. Mind you, that all went by the wayside when we had the teddy cutter. Do you remember?
the teddy cutter. That was a mystery, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
So before we get to that, I just want to back up a little bit because people won't realise. So when we went to boarding school, we were given this huge list of things we had to take and tick off, and they were like blazers. We all had school uniforms. So in America, they don't have school uniform. In England, we do. And when you go to a private school, it's a really specific school uniform you could only buy from certain shops. And our shop was
Kinch and Lack in Guildford.
Right. Which cost a bloody fortune because they had a monopoly. So you had to go there. And our school uniform was the delightful colour of green, which I've never liked since.
No,
it was green. We had a kilt in the winter, didn't we? I don't know why. It wasn't Scottish, but we had to buy a kilt in the winter.
Oh, we did, yes.
With a blazer and green jumpers and all. I mean, honestly, there's a whole massive list.
White gloves up to there. Sorry, you can't see, can you?
We had white gloves.
White gloves.
That was just you, Bucket. I don't remember having those.
White gloves and a boater. It said white gloves. White
for the
gloves.
Summer.
No, Mum never got me, but she really liked the idea because she was such a snob. She really wanted me to get these white gloves.
They must have been optional because I never got them.
No, I never got the white gloves either. I can't think of anything worse.
No, exactly. And they would have got filthy immediately. So we had to wear a bow tie, though, didn't we, in the summer with these green and white checked dresses, didn't we?
Yeah,
and everything dresses. We looked like walking deck chairs.
We did. Green deck chairs. So yeah, we had all these things, and we used to have a trunk, didn't we, with our name on it. And that would get shipped up with our parents at the beginning of term and would stay there till the end. But you were only allowed, as Tanya said, three things on your dressing table and one teddy. And you had a chair next to your bed. And the matrons used to come and inspect your knickers because you had to put your underwear on it when you got and they'd come and inspect your knickers, wouldn't they? It was horrible.
They were
quite perverted.
Yeah, and we had laundry once a week, and if you didn't put in enough knickers, you'd get punished. So we used to try and mess them up to make them look dirty, because we often didn't wear the same knickers.
But they made us have over knickers and under knickers, didn't they?
Yeah, the thick, the very thick ones.
So we had white under knickers, normal pants, basically, and then
they were called pant liners.
Pant liners, yeah.
They were actually normal pants, weren't
they? Just normal pants.
Now, for Americans, knickers is what we call panties, but panties is a word that you don't use in England because it's just a bit rude. We don't like that word. And not knickerbockers.
No.
But they're
knickers are pants. Like, in America, fannies are bottoms, and in the UK, fanny isn't a bottom, is it?
Good time. And so many times, people over here talk about fanny packs and hit you on the fanny. It's like, I shudder every time. It's like when they stick two fingers up to me, say, I'll have two coffees. It's like, no, you just told me to fuck off.
Rude.
I know, really rude. Anyway, back to the knickers. So we had white under knickers and massive green thick over knickers. Yeah, and we're supposed to wear both for some unknown reason. Tony, do you know?
Well, because the green with the laundry, this I remember, you were meant to put in seven of the white knickers, so a different pair every day, but only one pair of the green knickers once a week, because you wore your over knickers for a week. Ooh. And when we had, do you remember the beginning of every term, we had weighing and measuring.
At that point,
I was really skinny, and I used to wear two pairs of the big green knickers in the hope that it would make me a bit heavier. Because if you were too light, you used to have to sit on matron's table for breakfast every day, which was horrible.
And then she'd force feed you horrible food, wouldn't she?
Yeah. And I used to, if we had Alpen for breakfast, I remember Alpen muesli for breakfast, I used to line all the raisins up around the edge of my bowl and flick them into other people's bowls because I hated them.
I do remember you hating raisins, I have to
say. Still do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And eggs as well, because we used to have eggs.
I didn't have to eat eggs. That was the one thing I was allowed a letter from home, that I didn't have to eat eggs.
Awful. Some of the food, like, we used to have one piece, if we had bacon, we had one piece of streaky, uncooked bacon swimming in grease with that bit of gristle in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh,
awful.
And it wasn't crispy, it was soggy, and it was literally, you had to lift it up and it would drip oil, wouldn't it?
It was gross.
And that was it. It was on your plate, one piece of bacon, nothing else. And you weren't allowed to make a bacon sandwich out of it, were you? Oh, it would not seem ladylike.
But you equally weren't allowed to leave the table until your plate was empty. Mm. I remember being left in the lunch hall having to eat semolina with a dob of strawberry jam in the middle, and every mouthful made me want to vomit. Oh, and I wasn't allowed to leave the lunch hall until I'd eaten it all. It was absolutely gross.
They were horrible.
Still can't eat semolina to this day.
And that horrible skin on the top. Ugh.
Oh. Yeah, what?
It was gross.
So do they have in America?
I don't know. I've never been anywhere and heard semolina ever again.
I've never heard. It's only like a school thing, isn't it? They were forced to eat.
It's food of the devil.
Yeah. Anyway, so I want to get back to the dormitories, because that's the funny bit. Well, they're all a bit funny, but the dormitories bit is really unusual. And if you've never been to boarding school, which most people probably haven't, then we're going to let you into a few secrets of some of the weird games that we used to get up to. Because they used to put us to bed really early, like 6:30 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. The first term that we were there, was it 6:30 upstairs, 7:00 in bed?
Yes, that was it.
And then I think the second year, I think the latest I ever went to bed was 7 or 7:30.
Would you work there that long, were you? How long were you there, 2 years?
Well, till I was 13. It's still pretty early for a 13-year-old.
Exactly. And we all had loads of energy. And we just, so they put us to bed. None of us could sleep with lots of energy with all our friends. I mean, what did they expect? We weren't allowed to read.
You have to play a game.
And also, you know, we'd read Mallory Towers, boarding school is like your like midnight feast. So we came thinking, boarding school is about playing and being naughty. Well,
I read all the Mallory Towers, Enid Blyton books.
Yeah, ditto. But the midnight feasts were normally about 9 o'clock, weren't they? Because by then we'd already been in bed 2 or 3 hours.
I know. But yeah, I've got this, because we had to write journals for our English class, and I've got these excellent drawings that you gave me of you stuffing food up your clothes and then trying to sneak upstairs.
Yes, to smuggle it. Because we were only allowed to get sweets once a week from the sweet shop. We couldn't, but we used to want to store stuff for the midnight feast. So we were allowed home like one weekend a term, weren't we?
Every third weekend.
Every third. So we brought, every time we went home, we'd bring back loads of biscuits and crisps and all the really, really junky stuff and hide it. I don't know where we used to hide it. And
in our big green knickers.
Past matron's room with a big stomach full of sweets, as much junk as we could possibly push in. And the midnight feasts were...
weren't midnight, though.
No, well, I think some of them... Yeah, they were good midnight feasts.
They were.
And I'm thinking we were caught and had stuff confiscated.
Oh, we were getting caught, weren't we?
Oh, I think we probably got caught more or less every single one, didn't we?
We weren't quiet, were we?
No, never.
So we had, let's just describe matron. We had matron and assistant matron. So one of you described matron and one of you described brazier.
Bucket, who do you want?
Well, matron, I'll do Miss Garrett, matron. So proper matron, real matron she was quite big, wasn't she? And she was quite matronly. Is that where the word comes from, matronly?
Just for Miss Garrett, I think.
Yeah, she had huge tits and she had a mouth like a dog's bottom, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Always looking disapproving, like that. And she was, I think she was a bit of a, what's it called? She loved pain. She loved inflicting pain, didn't she? Because she was really sadistic. Yeah. I've still got scars all over this finger from when she held it down in boiling water when it was bitten by a vole and she said it was my guinea pig.
I remember that.
And I was screaming and she poured from a boiling kettle into one of those glass Pyrex, held my finger down.
No!
And said that I'll teach you a lesson for going down to the guinea pig sheds and picking up your guinea pig. And it wasn't my guinea pig who'd bitten me. I was screaming. Yeah, and actually, they complained about that. Anyway.
Nothing was done, but yeah. So you had to wear this horrible, white, scratchy doctor's coat, didn't she?
Yeah, they both wore doctor's coats. And then the assistant, Tanya,
Miss Brazier.
Miss Brazier,
She was Bucket's nemesis, actually, wasn't she? She was as skinny as Miss Garrett was big.
Yeah.
Her mouth was even more of a dog's bottom, I think.
Absolutely.
And
they were both 110, weren't they?
Yes, they were at least 110. And I remember not in Roseram, not our first home, when I moved into Furham, which was another dormitory, it had two doors, one either side, and one of them was the fire escape. And she used to stand there. We'd hear her coming and listen and wait for one of us to talk so she could come in and tell us off. Yeah. You know, not that we'd be making a noise, but, you know, if someone snored, she'd probably have come in. But she was horrible. Mind you, I think we were pretty horrible to her. Someone used to push fingernails under her door because her bedroom was, I can't remember, or their toenail cuttings or something equally as unpleasant.
But when you're so bored at school, it became, I think, our mission to annoy teachers. Well, it was certainly my mission to annoy as many teachers as possible and be as naughty as possible, because what else have you got to do at school? You know, I really wanted to. And you're put to bed at a ridiculous hour and it's still light until 11 o'clock and you've been there. Of course you're going to be imagine that it even think of.
We used to call her Brazier, didn't we? Or Brazier.
Miss Brazier.
Brazier. We called her Brazier there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful woman.
Love that.
Awful woman.
She was, and she had, both of them were completely devoid of a sense of humour, weren't they?
Absolutely.
Humour lobotomy. I mean, at birth, and never did they laugh at anything.
Why either of them took the job is absolutely beyond me, because it, I mean, perhaps they didn't. Perhaps it was a kid's view of it. It was like they hated.
Yeah, hated kids.
Children, girls. Because we were obviously all girls.
Yeah, they did. They didn't think they liked us at all, did they?
No. I mean, I don't blame them sometimes, especially if they were getting fingernails and toenails pushed under their bedroom doors.
Anyway, let's come up with some of the games that we did in Rosewood when we first started, when we were at 11.
Our first term.
We started off with Midnight Feast because we'd all heard about that, and then tried to get more imaginative because we hadn't heard, and I don't think Mallory Towers, Enid Blyton had had anything else at boarding school apart from Midnight Feast. So we then started making games up, and I think we had a torch, didn't we? We had a torch.
Spotlight. It was called Spotlight.
It was called, because Colditz was on the telly, which was this World War II programme about people being stuck in a concentration camp called Colditz, and they'd have this spotlight, didn't they, when someone escaped. Yeah. So they tried to reenact that with a torch on our bed.
Yeah, by just crawling under each other's beds.
And then somebody had to, like, you know, hold the torch, wait for 10 seconds or something, and then she'd have to try and... But they weren't allowed to leave their bed, were they?
No.
Yeah. But more daring, we started taking clothes off doing it. Because...
Which was something else to do.
Yeah. Well, the second, was it the second or the third? I think the second night, I ran down to Miss Long. Miss Long was the head.
That was Dares Bucket. That was different. That's when we had...
Yeah, that was...
We got all the Colditz. Although, I just want to say one story about the Colditz one. There was one set weekend when... Tanya and I, went for whatever reason, were not able to go home. So we had to stay at school. And so did Barbara, didn't she?
Yeah.
And we were all in different rooms, I think, at that point. But they put us all in the same dormitory because we were the only three left in this haunted, horrible, spooky, cold, drafty boarding house. So we're in the same room and we were bored. So Barbara was on the bed playing. She was the prison guard and you and I were hiding, weren't we?
Yeah.
And we thought we were jolly clever because we both hid underneath her bed, didn't we? Because you're not allowed, one of the rules are you're not allowed to look underneath the bed. I don't know why, but anyway. And then suddenly we heard Miss Brazier creeping up the stairs because she couldn't, we were up some stairs to get to us. And they always creak, so it was very difficult for her to sneak up on us, didn't we? And just at the last minute we heard the creaking, so we have time to get back into our own beds. So for some reason, Tana and I thought it was sensible to jump into bed with Barbara on either side of her and snuggle down and pretend we weren't there, three of us in a tiny little bed.
In one single bed.
And then she burst in, turned on the light, and was about to leave, and then suddenly thought there was something funny, and then came back in again and realised that all three of us were in the bed.
Yeah.
And then she said, lesbians, didn't she?
She said, young ladies don't do things like that. Get back in your own beds.
I had no idea what she really meant. That
no, hadn't got a clue. No idea. Never even heard the word lesbian at that stage.
No, we had no clue, did we? But anyway, it was shocking and awful. It got her up to no good. And all we were doing was playing Colditz.
Anyway, Dares Bucket.
Yeah, we moved on from there to Dares, didn't we? Because that got pretty boring pretty quickly, didn't it?
Dares, yeah. Well, Dares, there was a lot of running around without pyjamas in the Dares, weren't there?
With pyjamas on occasion.
Because it did make it more daring to run out into the corridors with the risk of being caught in the nude. It made it more of a dare.
Well, otherwise, you could just pretend you were going to the toilet, couldn't you?
Exactly. Particularly more of a dare if you went in a dare down forbidden places, and that there was a staircase that was forbidden, the green stairs, which went
the green
to the head.
Stairs.
And so I ran down those in the nude and touched her door, which was a glass panel door. And as I touched it to swivel around and run back up again, she looked up from her desk and I was like hiking up the stairs. And that was only about the second night, because I remember
very early on.
Yeah, so I thought at the time boarding school is really good fun, but then we started getting all the punishments after that, didn't we? So many punishments. We were just always in some sort of punishment. cleaning silver or sitting in the corridors late at night in the dark. And
yeah, that was the weird one, wasn't it? That if you got into trouble, you were all yanked out of the dormitory and put down the sick bay corridor, which basically was just a corridor where the sick bay rooms were. And we'd all just have to sit there. And it's like, well, you want us to go to sleep, but you're actually making us sit down this corridor with the lights off.
With the lights off and not together. We had
We were spaced out.
It was like severe distancing. It was like 4 meters apart rather than 2 meters apart.
Social distancing. And then I remember being down in the dining hall, which was underneath all the rooms one time. And it was really spooky in there because it had really high ceilings. And
as a punishment.
Yeah, we were down there for quite a while as well, at midnight. And they were just sitting in long, long far apart, and you weren't allowed to say anything. We tried to whisper. I'm a bit scared.
That was great. I mean, some of the punishments, I think that was about the third time we'd been caught talking. It was probably by then about midnight, but she was probably lost it by then. And
she was probably at the end of her tether.
Yes, yeah.
And also, we were always getting caught, Bucket, weren't we? We were all doing really silly things. I remember when we were in the loos and we were pretending we were having a baby. I'm having a baby. Oh, it's really difficult. And we were going like that. And what we didn't realise was that Matron was standing outside both the stalls, listening to us. Oh, it's really bad. Oh, no, mine's worse. Oh, my God, is it ever going to come out? And I think she thought we were constipated, and so hauled us off to sick bay and gave us 3 tablespoons of milk of magnesia. That is, it's disgusting, chalky, white, thick, gloopy substance, and it makes you have diarrhea instantly, doesn't it?
Yes, it's rather yes.
But Claire, there's probably my favourite story of all time, when you were the only one that got the milk of magnesia. It was, we were all in Rose Room, so it must have been the first term. Because I think I was only in the same dormitory as you two the first term.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we used to make these things called apple pie beds, which, again, for anyone that doesn't know, is when you bring the bottom sheet up and over, so it looks like it's the top sheet because it's folded over the blanket, but actually it's the bottom sheet, so that when you get in, you've only got about a foot to get into. And if you got into an apple pie bed, you tried to just lie all scrunched up so you didn't get your friends into trouble.
Otherwise, you're on this sheet, and they were really thin sheets, weren't they?
They were, and the amount of people that put the foot through. And then there was this night, and I think it was another friend of ours in the dormitory, Annette, had put, it's like a wind-up ring that when you, normally people have it on their hand and you shake hands and it buzzes and it's just odd. Someone had put it under Claire's pillow, and because Claire had an apple pie bed, she sat right up on her pillow so that when she got into bed, it wasn't too obvious that she had this apple pie bed.
Just by looking at it.
And this buzzing thing went off and it sounded like she had the most chronic wind. Claire, you carry on, because she hauled you out of bed.
It went on, and it was so realistic, it sounded like a fart. It went on and on and on. And both matrons happened to be putting the lights out for some reason. So they were both standing in the doorway, just waiting. Come on, Fowler, get into bed. Don't hurry up. And I was rushing around thinking, it's an apple pie bed. They're both looking. What am I going to do? And this awful fart went on and on and on and on and on and on. And then I just couldn't stop laughing. I just knew it, because I just knew. And I just pissing myself laughing, and then trying not to. And everybody was snorting and snuffling down, trying not to laugh too much. And they just, because I couldn't stop then, I got hysterical. It's fabulous. It is not ladylike. One does not make noise of that and then laugh. And they couldn't believe how rude and unladylike I was. And I couldn't stop laughing. I just was in. So then they dragged me out of bed, put on my dressing gown and slippers, hauled me down all long corridors to sick bay, and all the way I was laughing, and she kept smacking me. Got smack, smack, smack. And the more she smacked me, the more I laughed. And then when I got there, she gave me a couple of figs, which is like milk and magnesia on steroids. So it really is disgusting. It tastes horrible, and the effects are awful. And I had 3 tablespoons of that and more flat before I said, God, it was awful. But I just remember that vividly. I could not stop laughing for as long as it was. I was just in utter hysteria, and they couldn't understand why me farting was funny.
But 45 odd years later, every time I think about that, I still laugh like a child. Yeah. It's pathetic.
I have a thing about farting. You hate farting. And you're,
I do.
Okay, so not only did we get, I get smacked a lot and got milk in my nose, so it fixed the whole time, but we did other things called bottoms, didn't we? Tanya, describe bottoms.
No, I refuse, point blank.
Tanya was always the more sensible one of the three of us. Bucket was always the weirdo. The weirdo one, and the one who really squealed a lot and made love, and I was sort of in the middle. Sometimes I was like Bucket, sometimes I was like Tanya. On the bottoms game, I was like Bucket. So, Bucket, you describe bottoms.
The bottoms, well, there were seven of us in the dormitory, so six girls had to lie down face down on the floor with their pyjama bottoms pulled down to their lower thighs. So there was just
white wobbly bottoms.
White buttocks. You know, so the seventh one was looking at this walkway of buttocks. And it was obvious that they had to walk over the buttocks one by one. Then when they got to the end, I don't know why we thought up this game, when they got to the end, then they would replace the sixth one. Is that it? Yeah, no, and they'd down, and then they'd pull down, and then the first one would come up, and so it was like a caterpillar of buttocks, I suppose.
Yes, it was. I mean,
why? Why did you do it?
Walking across each other's bottom.
We thought it was really funny.
We really did go to bed too early, didn't we? Extraordinary.
Strange thing. Strange, yeah. Buttocks. Bridges, rather. That was bridges.
Yeah.
Odd.
Very odd.
And then we had this, when we got really, really bored, we did a competition, didn't we, Bucket?
I have to say, what you're about to talk about, I did not get involved in.
Striptease, like Miss World thing.
Okay, you go on to that one then. You take that one.
Oh, I don't know this one.
Oh. Yeah, no, because one person would actually take off, it was always taking off their clothes. Why did we have to take off? So they take off their pyjamas and then they do a striptease.
But didn't we go da 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 da?
Yes.
Da,
da, da. Yeah, and so we had like a Miss World thing. That was a competition.
And then we had the torches and we'd spotlight them, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would. Yeah. And then we
happened to spot a pubic hair. We were thoroughly excited because none of us had any pubes at that point.
Yes,
and so we did something we did. Then we changed the game from Miss World to Inspection.
Inspection. That's the thing we're not allowed to talk about.
Move on.
But suffice to say, I've never eaten rhubarb since.
Tanya said, don't mention rhubarb.
Yep. Rhubarb.
No, move on. Oh, edit God. And move on.
Still so much fun getting Tanya embarrassed after all this time. Bucket and I would always like try and make Tanya really embarrassed. And it's still
oh God, no, we were quite strange in a way. But yes, you know, we were quite innocent.
Some of us grew up normal, eh, Bucket?
We were
so much.
Time, don't you think? We were innocent but strange.
Yes. We were incredibly innocent, incredibly naive. I mean, we really didn't know. Well, I didn't, and I don't think you guys did either. I mean, being 10, 11, 12 back in the 70s is so different.
Yeah.
We knew nothing.
There was nothing sexual about any of it.
It wouldn't have crossed our minds. It was just funny to dare someone to strip off and run down and touch the bathroom door or sit in a sink of water and come back and prove because their bottom was wet or whatever.
Yes. But it was innocent, and we were sort of in that innocent way thinking that boobs and bums and farts were really funny. So when anyone got
boobs, it was really funny.
It was so funny, and we were fascinated by them because we didn't really have them. Tanya, you didn't for ages, and then I didn't for ages.
I left Parsons Mead still at boarding school, still in a vest. Completely flat-chested.
First, and you two were so horrible. I got my first bra, and I was really embarrassed and really shy. And you, Bucket particularly, I think, you went and told
pinging
everybody.
It. Yeah, and pinging it.
So cruel. It was just awful. You know, I was really mean, and I do remember, and actually, it's something that should be celebrated. We were so cruel and teased anybody who got any boobs or pubes. You know, any pubes, underarm hair or pubes, you were teased mercilessly, weren't you?
Well, I remember in Fareham when one of the girls we were at school with, who I won't say, but she was the first one to get pubes. Every night we used to ask her to count how many she had and report back. Why?
It's so funny. We were fascinated, weren't we?
We were. It was very innocent.
Yes, so, it was.
So the competition, I do want to get back to it, though, was a competition.
Oh no, yes.
Which is the one I had no, I did not partake in this because I had a fear of pain, I think.
What happened was we decided to, for some reason, I think Bucket, because you're quite sadistic,
you made up with it and you had
your hairbrush and you wanted to whack people, only because I think you could see in your mind a little cartoon that you could draw about some evil person thwacking someone on the bottom with a hairbrush, and you did actually draw it really well. And you were that cartoon character, really, weren't you? And so you had your hairbrush and you started whacking everyone. And it happened to me twice and I thought, fuck me, I hate pain. I'm not going to be doing this anymore.
I didn't know, ditto. But also, it wasn't a soft hairbrush, was it?
Petal spikes. It was one of those ones with a cushioned head and spikes that stuck out. Mm. So the metal, and I was the chief spanker because obviously I didn't want to spank myself. I wasn't once spanked. No way was I going to be spanked. I knew
that was it.
So I got down to, because the whole dormitory was meant to be spanked, and I remember getting harder and harder. I mean, this is really odd, but it was innocent.
It was so horrible.
But do you not remember one of the girls who was a weekly boarder, which meant that she went home every weekend? Yeah. Went home with her pajamas and they were covered with little dots of black.
Her pain threshold was so high.
Spikes went into her buttocks. I mean, it's just weird.
She won that competition, hands down, or bottoms down.
We should ask her if her bottom's still scarred.
I know, she had all these little pinpricks of blood, didn't she?
Yeah.
Pajamas. But your hairbrush, I remember all the spikes stuck into that spongy bit because you whacked her so hard.
I mean, this does sound quite pervy, but it actually really wasn't pervy, was it? It wasn't.
It wasn't.
I don't know, Bucket, you tell us.
Oh, it wasn't. All I know is that I thought it would be cleverer to be the spanker as opposed to the spanked.
Or you could have just been like me and said, no, thank you, I'm not playing.
I couldn't.
It was always that option.
Yeah, that was a funny one.
Did you get into trouble, Bucket?
Pardon?
Did you get into trouble with the housemistress?
Oh my God, yes, because her mum wrote and told the housemistress, and then it was reported, and I got big punishment for that. It seemed like every week at boarding school, one of us was being punished, because we were allowed to stay up a bit later at weekends to watch, there were some weekend programs, or there was Top of the Pops every Thursday.
On a Thursday.
And if we were naughty, that was taken away. So it was usually that was taken away or staying up.
But Top of the Pops was such a trip. We all loved Top of the Pops, didn't we?
We did. I don't think I saw it very often because it was the first thing they used to use as a punishment, was it? You've lost Top of the Pops.
We always lost Top of the Pops. It was very.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
No, it was great in the 70s because that was
Basie T. Rollins,
but also Mark Bolan. You know, it was that era, wasn't it?
The Glitter Band.
Yeah. Oh gosh, Glitter Band. Yeah.
It was all that glam rock stuff, wasn't it? David Bowie.
It was. Not that we saw that much of it during the term time.
No.
We had riding on Sunday mornings, didn't we? Do you remember that?
We did.
We loved riding. It was my favorite thing.
Mine too. But with the biggest treat of the year, because I think it meant you could stay up to something like 11 o'clock, was the Eurovision Song Contest. And now I'd rather stick needles in my eyes than watch it. It wasn't on this year because of COVID, but it's normally on,
Very awful. And we'd sit in the hall that we have assemblies in, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Because we didn't have TVs in our sitting rooms, did we?
No. There was the one TV in the main hall.
The crashing TV, and we'd have to sit on chairs on the floor, and that was on the
stage on little armchairs.
Yeah, that's right. But But then there were only, what, 55 boarders. So, and if it was on at the weekend, there were even less of us because there was quite a lot of weekly boarders, weren't there?
Another thing I want to talk about was Miss Garrett and the doctor.
Oh, my God. He was more of a perv than anyone else. Awful man.
He was also obsessed with boobs and
In also like you are.
I mean, he was a real pervy, wasn't he?
He was a 70s perv, definitely.
Yeah,
there's this girl at school who will not be named, who had the giant tits we've ever come across. I mean,
oh my God. Huge. They were enormous.
Yeah.
And at one point, she was in the next dormitory to, she was my sister's age, wasn't she? And she was in the next dormitory to us, and we had a hatch that went between the two, and all us young kids crawled through the hatch one weekend. And we lined up and she allowed us to touch them, didn't she, Bucket?
We did, yeah, we did touch them because we were so fascinated to see what they'd feel like because we were still flat-chested. And again, that was innocent and she was quite proud of them and she wanted us to line up and prop them.
Yeah, quite a lot of chief, but we all like all did it. And then didn't she have a swollen ankle or something? And she went to the sick bay and Miss Garrett called in the doctor. Miss Garrett loved the doctor. She'd put on fresh lipstick and actually smile, wouldn't she?
Time she smiled.
It was quite off-putting having her laugh, wasn't it? And Miranda had this swollen ankle and he made her take off her top and feel her tits just to find out whether her ankle was okay.
It really was. Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. And then wasn't there another time when you were in the bath?
We were meant to have baths, was it? Once a week and showers three times a week, Tanya,
there was some sort of rota, wasn't there? And it was written up as a rota and you had to use a certain shower or a certain bath. Yeah. You couldn't choose where you went or when you went. You were told on a Tuesday you'd be in Northrum Shower 1 or whatever it was. It was all so regimented.
It was hugely regimented. So I remember, I think it was summer and I didn't feel like I think it was the first year, so I wasn't really that bothered about having baths and showers. So I sneaked off and didn't have my bath or shower and was caught by the matron. And so she made me go to the bathing corridor where all the baths were in little cubicles. And she gave me a scrub down bath with one of those long wooden bristle sticks. And she
normally cleans the loo.
Door wide open so everyone going past the corridor could see me. I mean, I didn't have anything to show, but it's excruciatingly embarrassing. And she was had the soap thing and was making me, you know, sit like that and doing my back and then lifting my arms. And then for some reason, the gardener, Charlie, no, what was his name?
Charlie
was the gardener and his son we used to call Fice.
He had to come up the stairs, which was not normal.
What?
Fixed to do some maintenance, and he walked by at the time I was being scrubbed down by Miss Brazier. Oh my God! It was.
Didn't the gardener have a thing for Miss Garrett?
I don't know.
I can't remember that. I can't remember that.
He was always obsequious around her. He'd always like.
Oh yes, but I think that's just who he was. He was a bit of a forelock. You know,
yes,
and his son was so ugly, we called him Fice,
He had a really unusual, it was like he got squished, wasn't it, in the birth canal, and his face was out. Strange.
He was very, very unfortunate looking.
And we were horrible when you were, and we were quite taunting out of the dormitory window.
Well, yes, but we used to throw up our vests and things and think it would turn him on.
We were so horrible.
We were awful people.
I'm trying to think what else. We used to have our first cigarettes in, and we first tried smoking down at the guinea pig sheds. Was it the guinea pig sheds?
Or was it behind the boilers?
Oh, maybe it was behind the boilers. But did you try it?
No, I never smoked at school.
Bonnie was so disapproving. Do you remember?
Yeah, it was very disapproving.
Yeah, you carried on though, Claire, for years, didn't you?
You and I tried it and thought it was disgusting and horrible, and we coughed and why would anyone do this? And then we met up with Bug, and he sort of set us this challenge: do we want to smoke? And we both went yes, because we both fancied him. So we went off behind the willow trees and learned to smoke. And then because I went out with Bug, I then had to learn to smoke properly because obviously I felt pressure to be a bit cool. And then I ended up I didn't, and then stopped smoking at school when I stopped getting out of the bug. But then when I started college at 16, we started, and you could leave school early in those days. I went to sort of like a sick form college, but not quite. And then I started smoking properly. And then I did 20 a day. And then by the time I stopped smoking, when I was 30, well, yeah, I was 30, I think, just before I had, had kids, I was smoking 40 a day.
Wow.
And Tom, yeah, who was so disapproving, was the one who smoked longer.
You smoked
all your life, didn't you, young lady? You smoked all your life, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't now.
Why does Bucket, tell everyone why Bucket stresses you out.
Oh my God, because she's so, I don't know, but I love her very dearly, but I suppose we're chalk and cheese.
Yeah,
and she's just very hectic and unorganised, and I don't cope well with hectic and unorganised.
I know.
You always lose your car keys, don't you, and house keys, always.
I lose, yeah, I'm very, whatever goes, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the most important thing is to have fun, really, isn't it?
You have so many awful adventures that would make me die, and you just laugh, don't you?
Yeah.
I was in hysterics yesterday, falling flat on my face and busting my lip open. I just thought, oh, no, not another one. Yeah, it's quite typical. I shouldn't say that because I'll manifest more, but yeah. But, you know, that's why I allow Tanya. I mean, that's why I don't get offended, because I know that you need a bit of chill time. As in fact, as soon as you get here, well, quite soon after you get here.
I can feel my blood pressure going up as I drive in. Going, oh my God, oh my God. No, I'm joking.
And if you're trying to get out the door to go anywhere, you're worse than my daughter. You just spend hours, you faff about.
Yes.
When Bucket and I had our card company, I said to her very clearly on our very first trade show, if you lose your keys, I don't care.
Yes.
If you lose your purse, I don't care. If you lose anything, I don't care. I don't want to know, and I'm not going to help you look for them.
Yes.
So I made it very, very clear, because then it was less stressful for me. I didn't have to get involved. I just walked away.
And she really, honestly, Claire, she set the boundary so well, and she's strict with it. So however I'm screaming, you say, but what are we going to do? She goes, I don't care. I don't care. It's so
survival.
Good.
It's survival instinct. That's all it is.
It's like, even if I don't have my insulin pens and something could be emergency,
I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care. Your problem, your problem.
You're a grown-up, sorted out.
And about 30 years caring, though, Tanya, didn't you? And driving yourself bonkers trying to help her.
Yeah, and I can't do it anymore. I'm grey enough as it is. I'm not going any greyer just because of her losing everything.
Why do you think I'm over here now, Tanya?
Pardon?
I don't have to deal with it. Sorry, I'm 5,000 miles away.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And we had, I don't think you were there, Tanya, because you left, didn't you?
I left when I was 13.
Yeah. And so then we weren't allowed to have boyfriends then. That's why I had to sneak out and see Bug. But then when we were 14, we were allowed to see boys, and we'd go to Epsom College dances and things like that. But I remember we had one sitting room, didn't we, when you were younger, and there was all of you crammed into one.
Yeah, and the junior BCR.
Boarder sitting room. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And then when you got into a slightly older, was it lower five or something? I don't know. You must have been 14. Then you got your own sitting room just for your year.
Yeah.
There was like, I guess 10 or 15 of us. There weren't many, were there? And then we were allowed once a term, I think, to have the equivalent number of boys from the local school over, either Epsom College or St John's. And it was just incredibly, excruciatingly embarrassing, because they would turn up and there would be this room, and it wasn't very big, was it? It was probably
no,
the size of a normal sitting room, really, wasn't it? It wasn't a big
14 by 16 or something like that, not even very small. And there would be girls on one side and boys on the other, and we'd just stand there fiddling and scuffing your feet, not knowing what the hell to do. And what we'd done was we'd gone out in the weekend or somewhere and bought cider, which was in England it's alcoholic, whereas over here it isn't really. And so his cider is always alcoholic, and it was the easiest thing. Somehow we were able to buy it. I don't know. Maybe we're allowed to buy cider.
I don't know how we got it, because it was only allowed if you're over 18.
I don't think they had rules like that then, Bucket. They didn't. Buying alcohol was just that anybody could. And I think you were supposed to. It wasn't strictly enforced. And we often used to buy cider, and they were fine about it.
Yeah, but school didn't want us to have cider.
No, they didn't know about it. So outside of our sitting room, though, there's little bushes, weren't there? And we'd hide all the alcohol in the bushes. And then so once, you know, the boys were there and the teacher had gone away, we then got all the cider in from outside and everyone started drinking it. And once we'd had a couple of ciders, then the two sides met, didn't they? We all started snogging and playing music and turning off the lights.
And we had music. Yeah, we have like old tape decks and we'd be playing, I don't know, Genesis or...
Yeah.
No Bay City Rollers by then.
Yeah, we got
no Bay City Rollers. No, it was Led Zeppelin. Genesis, and then when it came to a slow song, everyone was really pissed by then. I remember the first time I got, really drunk, and I remember we were allowed peanuts as well. And I remember the first...
Allowed before, them?
That's very specific, isn't it?
I had a load of peanuts in my mouth when I was snogging this...
Oh!
I know, it was disgusting.
Oh.
Yeah, everyone, I mean, it was... You hadn't even spoken to the boy. You don't even know their name. And we had snogging competitions, see how many boys that we could snog in a night.
Yeah.
And I was the loser always. I hardly, it was just one for me. But
because you were trying to spank them.
You know.
Don't snog that girl. She's got I'm sure the rumour went around really quick. Oh.
But it used to be, then it got, when we went to Epsom College dances, it was a room like that, but they used to have a darker room. With
they had a huge room. I mean, that was like their dining room. It was a huge place, wasn't it, compared to ours?
But they did have a darkened room where there were people, there were girls and lying down and snogging. That was it. That,
God. Cushions and you got felt up, didn't you? You had a snog and a bit of a feel. I remember coming out of there really tousled and half your clothing being undressed. Doing yourself up and coming out again, and then and the teachers were just wandering around and everyone knew that was there.
Yeah, but it is quite weird because I remember a couple of girls being sneaked up to the boys, what are they called again, the room they sleep, not dormitories, they were like one rooms, and then being up there when the minibus came, and I think it might have been Miranda, and she came and she didn't have her knickers on, and she had her knickers hanging out of her pocket. So it was quite, you know, by then it was not so innocent, maybe. No. No. Naughty.
I just remember that Helen, one of our friends at school, her dad was the deputy headmaster, wasn't he? She told me recently that she remembers having to take away all our empty bottles, because after the parties and we had all this cider and stuff, someone had to take all the empties away.
Because she was a day girl.
And she was a day girl, so she remember clinking, taking all these, you know, bags of bottles and putting them in her dad's car, and trying not to let him know that she was, and I mean, he must have heard, and he was such a sweetheart, wasn't he? He never said, take all our empties away. She was our bottle recycling person.
So nice of him.
Funny.
I know, very funny. Talk about the guinea pigs, because that's quite funny. Everyone loves the guinea pig stories.
Oh my guinea God, pigs. Yes.
Yeah, well, we were so lucky to have guinea pigs, because they were sort of like our replacement parents while we weren't home, so we... Tanya, you had the most gorgeous guinea pig called Droopy with long hair. Was he Abyssinian? What was he?
Abyssinian, long hair. He was lovely, except he always had a pooey bottom.
Oh, yeah. And his hair, his poo used to get stuck. But he was just so gorgeous looking. You could hardly see his face. It was poking out of his locks.
Very gorgeous if he was coming at you, not if he was going away from you.
And then Claire, what was...
Mitzi. What was she was like a Mitzi. Toxic girl.
Oh, yeah, Mitzi. So Claire had Mitzi and I had Bumpkin, who I adored. Well, we all adored our guinea pigs.
Yes. And oh, God,
the
yes.
mistake was we thought, when I was originally given Bumpkin, I thought she was a she. I was told quite firmly she was a she, and we were so excited because Droopy was a he, and we were imagining these amazing babies, half long hair, because Bumpkin was ginger long-haired babies, like Yak. So we were permanently trying to get them to do it, and they wouldn't, obviously, because Droopy got excited. Droopy was the one who Tanya used to hold him above Bumpkin, didn't you?
Yes, and he'd go rocking side to side and then squirt what we lovingly called love juice. These poor guinea pigs we used to,
again,
completely innocent. We had no idea that we were actually sexually torturing our guinea pigs.
Look at the love juice.
Yes.
Because we did have babies, so you must have got Mitzi, who was a girl. She must have been in amongst then as well.
I think that one of the others, Di Di or Ali's guinea, had babies, and Mitzi was one of those, I think. I don't think Droopy or Bumpkin ever fathered any.
Didn't they?
No, I think we just used to hold them at a distance and watch them rock from side to side going...
I remember I thought it was Bumpkin on top, going, and his bottom would wiggle, wouldn't he? And he was on top, and you just whip away, and then you go, no, stop it, Bumpkin! And then this love juice, as you pulled them away, this love juice happened.
I know. We very cruel. The RSPCA would have us today.
Yeah.
But again, very innocent. Those were the days.
Oh, I know what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Fuck it, you were horrible. And I'm still traumatised today.
Oh, no.
Bucket's favourite habit.
On the loo, on the cistern. Oh. You stand there and just like rest with your arms on the loo above. And really, really quiet. I don't know how you managed to keep quiet, but you did. And then people come into the loo. And then just as they were finishing, go, I can see you. And it'll be...
Don't shake your head. You did used to do it. Because none of the loos, the ceiling, partitions between the loos didn't go up to the ceiling. They stopped about, I don't know, a foot before the ceiling. We had no privacy, really, and even less when Bucket was whiling away the hours watching people coming in and out of the loos. Don't shake your head. You know you did.
I blanked this out. I remember one occasion, but anything else I think I blanked out, maybe because it was too traumatic.
When I go into a loo now, anywhere that's not at home, I'm always thinking...
Who's watching?
Someone got a video on me. I mean,
yeah.
I never feel quite private. And one
girl,
not be named, got traumatised the rest of her stay at boarding school.
Because yes, Bucket.
Wasn't she? Well,
I think a lot of girls got traumatised. And I used to do some unpleasant songs and teasing.
What about Punky? And we sent her to
night. Wrong. Sorry, oh yeah, because why was that? Because she
accepted a compliment.
You did. She came back with a new cardigan and went, oh, that's a nice cardigan. She went, oh, thank you. And that was it. We ripped into her.
Yeah, because you should never ever accept a compliment. Never. You're meant to go, oh no, it's not, or this old thing or whatever. And she was sent to Coventry for saying thank you.
Trying to tell us what being sent to Coventry means.
Means that nobody will talk to you and they just ignore you. And it's a really horrible thing to do, especially when you're somewhere like boarding school, when you're on your tod anyway.
It was awful. We were horrible. We used to do it a lot.
And then you used to place a time limit. You're saying, oh, you're sent to Coventry for, for 2 days or it could be a week or something, couldn't it? It could be quite severe punishment. If you would really accept a big compliment, you could be sent to Coventry for a whole week, just for accepting a compliment about yourself.
Hey ho.
We've survived. I think that's the thing, though, about boarding school. We've made connections. You know, this was years ago, and so I think when you go to boarding school and you do all these weird things, I'm assuming it takes place in other boarding schools, but then you have this bond, don't you? Because you've been away from your home and your family are your friends, and don't you think that it makes
definitely.
Well, you two are like my sisters. I don't think I'd ever
clear like a, because we really, remembering back that far, it's always a bond, I think, more so than just day school when you're just seeing each other.
I remember when we were at PM that a lot of the day girls were very jealous of the boarders, because I had a couple of, because you two were the year above me, obviously out of school time I was always with you two, but during the day I was with my year, whereas you two still had each other. So I had friends who were day girls, and they were so jealous that we were all boarders. And I have to say, other than I remember in the second term of being there, I remember having a bout of homesickness. And then when I got the flu, we had a bout of flu in the whole boarding house, but I was one of the first to get it. So I ended up in one of the sick bays, and the sick bays were single rooms.
Yeah.
And because it went whizzed round the boarding house, one of the biggest dormitories was then turned into a sick bay. So if you got flu, you went into a dormitory. So at least you were still with other people, whereas I was in a sick bay. But other than that, those two occasions, I was so happy there. And why wouldn't I be? I was 10, 11 years old. I had 55 playmates on tap 24 hours a day. And the most innocent little things used to amuse us.
Yeah.
And like Buckets just said, you did, you made such good friends. I mean, not that we didn't all have fallings out. Everyone does, but it's a very strong bond.
Yeah. We had, but the thing is, you had to sort them out yourselves, didn't you? You didn't
have
parents, you couldn't go home.
No.
I mean, we Bucket, I remember you and I would argue the whole time.
Oh, yeah. You learned the skills that you need in later life. But we used to have terrible.
Yeah.
You too.
Remember we were in a later year, we had to share a cubicle, didn't we? So your bed was there. No, my bed was there, your bed was there. And we had such a terrible argument this one day that we wouldn't speak. We decided not to speak for, it could have been like a week.
Mm.
And we actually drew a line down the centre of the room, and I wasn't allowed to step onto your, and this was a teeny room. So it was really difficult. You literally had to creep down. And you'd get really annoyed if I stepped over the line and vice versa. And then we had an awful argument in the classroom. Do you remember that one, which was throwing pencil cases?
That we did smash
Mrs. Hilda's class. That was violent. I remember hurling your pencil case and stuff smashing.
We did. We threw everything all over the place. Smashed it up, smashed pencils, pencil sharpness, everything. And we didn't speak for one. Then you just had to get over it and make friends again, because otherwise it was too miserable not to be friends, wasn't it? And it made it awkward for everybody else because they didn't know which side to be on, and that was all horrible as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We did have a lot.
And then we were best friends again.
But at that time was after I'd left, and if you two had had an argument, I'd get letters from you, both of you going, I hate whoever the other one was, and she's done this, and blah, blah, blah.
I know.
Yeah, one falling out was over. We both liked, I think I liked the lead singer of the Bay City Rollers, and you did too. And I should be able to like him, not you. I didn't want, it was so controlling, like a violent temper about it, just about like some crappy celebrity.
What do you mean crappy? Yeah. They were our life for a while, the Bay City Rollers.
I mean, we had the top, but I remember having massive arguments with you in the newsagent, both going for the same magazine. And both of us arguing and arguing. Then Tanya would go, think, this is just too embarrassing. And she'd walk outside, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, you'd be sensible.
We'd be screaming at each other, wouldn't we? We'd have no inhibitions about...
Oh, no, no.
Tanya would be cringing and you and I would just be shouting at each other.
Yeah, no,
I think at that stage, although I loved the Bay Trollers, I was far more interested in going and buying my sweets with my 25p or whatever it was we were allowed to spend.
25p a week. And then we used to, I remember one brilliant time, they had Hubba Bubba bubble gum, and they were, with each Hubba Bubba, they were giving away cards of the Bay City Rollers. And so you opened your card and it was Eric or Les or... What was the boring drummer?
Derek.
Oh, you didn't want Eric or Derek.
Oh, so if you got Derek, you'd be furious because you'd spent all your pocket money on a freaking Hubba Bubba and got Derek instead
of Les.
We'd fight over these cards as well. It was just anything, you know, to fight over. It's just
very funny.
Very funny.
And then we used to play tennis a lot, didn't we? Because that's what we did. We just played tennis a lot. And then there was one time, Tanya, go on, tell us what happened.
I chipped Bucket's front tooth.
You whacked the tennis racket, didn't you?
It wasn't an argument. We must have been playing doubles, I guess, because we were both the same side. And I swung my racket back straight into Bucket's mouth and chipped her tooth. And it was a multicoloured gravel court. And I was crawling around trying to find the bit of her tooth. How I thought I'd find it is beyond me, but I tried.
So I didn't get crowns because of you, Tanya. You've got little pointy.
Yes, I know.
And I remember going to Helen's birthday party, and she had those strobe lights. And when you were grinning, the bit was black, didn't it? With all the ultraviolet light.
Yeah.
But then you would put your hand over your mouth at all times. Whenever we went to a disco, because strobe lights or whatever it was really in the 70s with all the discos, wasn't it? And every time you grinned, you had this black mark. You did like a pirate.
Have you still got the same cap on it from then? Or have you had to have it?
No, because they have to be replaced. They come out, you know. And if they come out, you've got tiny little Dracula points.
Peggy.
So, yeah, they're little pegs. So when I fell over yesterday, the first thing I thought was, oh, shit, my teeth have fallen out, because it was quite but I think that, yeah, they're okay. But, yeah, I always think of you, Tanya.
I know. I'm sorry. It was awful. And do you remember how cold the swimming pool was? Because as boarders, we could use the swimming pool at the weekends, which was fab on the one hand, but oh my God, it was arctic, wasn't it?
No heating of any kind.
Nope.
I hated swimming. I was just trying to, I had my period, I couldn't go or something. Anything not to swim. Awful.
I did like it.
I loved it.
You both like swimming.
I really loved it to have that. We used to, yeah, you were a tennis and sportsy.
I liked all the sports. I liked
hockey in the winter.
But not swimming. Ugh, hate it.
Yeah, but I think that was the other thing. We were all relatively sporty because actually it gave you something to do at the weekends. So if you were in the hockey team or tennis team or athletics or whatever it was, because we did have more or less everything, didn't we? You did want to be in the teams because actually a lot of the matches were on a Saturday and it sort of broke up the weekend. Sunday morning was sacred for horse riding, but Saturdays was sport.
Do you remember church on a Sunday morning?
Oh, church. Oh, my God. And we'd have to... That's, I think, the most old-fashioned bit was having to wear our uniform.
Yes.
And walk up to church in pairs. And then we were meant to put something in the collection every week, but rather than lose a precious 2p, which is more or less what, you know, what we were meant to put in, I used to undo the hooks that the pew cushions hung on. I'd undo the one in front of me, so when the collection thing came in, I could put it in, because the matrons were always listening for that clink of a coin, and I'd put in a hook, so I didn't have to put in 2p.
Yeah, in any way, Tanya.
No, I'm afraid I'm still an atheist. So
it was funny. I did hate it. They were so serious. We weren't allowed to smile, and if you laugh, God forbid, the hand of God would come and strike you down.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I was farting, and that just made me laugh so much.
I wanted to do anything to giggle as much as possible if it was boring, but yeah, it was deadly dull sermons.
And because you're not allowed to laugh, it made us laugh even more, didn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's wrong, isn't it, that we were made to go, but then that's the change of time, isn't it?
Yeah, we were forced. We didn't have a choice, did we?
Not every Sunday.
Coming, though. Cliff Richard coming with his guitar.
No.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah.
No.
With his guitar.
You dreamt it.
No, I promise you I didn't. He spat everywhere. Do you not remember? He spat. We were quite near the front, and he spat everywhere.
He spat.
Oh, my God, I've got no recollection of that at all.
It was like a religious song. It wasn't one of his hits or anything. And he came to Ashdod Church and sang, and he sat on a stool next to...
Oh, my God.
And we were quite near the front, and I remember really giggling because he had loads of...
Oh.
I don't remember that at all.
No, neither do I.
What's coming back to me? Was I there?
Yes.
Was I there?
Definitely... Came to that, not that it was exciting to me, because Cliff Richard was boring then. Weren't into Cliff Richard.
I was probably too busy unscrewing the hook in front of me to even notice.
Yes, dismantling the church.
Beavering away, taking all the screws out. So I had a pocket full of change.
Oh,
how funny. No, I don't remember that, but.
I just remember when we were allowed to go.
Yeah, and then we used to just.
Which was on a Sunday evening, and you were allowed to go by yourself once you got to a certain age, and that we wouldn't really go and hang out in the local park, didn't we, and then come back again.
Again, that was after I'd left. I was still in that forced to go on a Sunday morning age.
Because we were forced to go, I've never wanted to go to church since.
It's no, ditto. Enforced religion is awful.
Yeah, it really is.
Gives you the wrong view, doesn't it?
It does.
But then it was riding afterwards, so we were, just sprinting back. Go
Yes, actually, yes, that's true. Yeah, you just wanted to get back and get into our smelly riding gear because that never got washed, I don't think, from one turn to the next.
It was disgusting. It did smell.
It was. It did. It stunk of just horses and everything else. And I used to fall off quite a lot, so it probably used to smell of horse poo quite a lot as well.
Oh, we loved riding there, didn't we? It was my favourite.
Oh, we did. That's what I remember my favourite horse, Sandy.
I had Dusty.
And I had Hey Presto. Yeah, we remember. It's so amazing, isn't it?
And then the because I was still very short, if there were taller people there and I'd get one of the really small ones, was Napoleon, who was a little bugger because he would always go underneath branches and then I'd just fall off the back.
How funny.
That was Napoleon. I remember him.
He was a right little devil, wasn't he?
He was. And because I was probably amongst the shortest,
yeah,
you know, because they used to dole the horses out kind of on height, didn't they? We'd all turn up and then you'd get given a horse. It was good there.
And then we did that W.H. Smith Winner Pony competition every sodding year, didn't we?
Oh, God, the dream was always to have your own, wasn't it?
It really was. Yeah. I always longed to have my own pony. Even now, I still like to have my own horse. Or just, I'm a bit too old and tired now. But like you were saying, Bucky, you've got horses outside your window. Would love it. Yeah. Horses.
No, it's beautiful. Yeah, really, really, really lucky.
Yeah.
I'm invited to go for a ride. I haven't accepted yet.
Oh, mind you, Bucket, do you think you should? You might end up with a few broken bones.
this is the third accident in 6 weeks, so probably not at the moment.
What were the other two then?
Well, I fell over I've just healed up from the other two. I fell over the garden pots about midnight. I've moved them all.
At midnight.
And then there was, don't ask. No. And I was walking back and I forgot that I moved the position and tripped over again, flat on my face and my elbow and then twisted my wrist. Yeah. So I've just got over that one and now I've got a fat lip. So yeah, probably not horse riding for a while.
No, but save bucket. Anyway, so thank you guys so much for being on my podcast, and you'll have to come back again and we'll talk about a different subject, not boarding school. So yes. Thank you, Tania.
Pleasure. Thank you for the very funny memories.
And thank you, Bucket.
Thank you. It was great. And it was great to talk to both of you. I always love it. It's brilliant.
Yes, ditto.
It's nice to be on the same meeting anyway, just regardless, because that's kind of a bit of a challenge, isn't it? Just getting you
it
both.
Is. Bucket.
Let me rearrange this. Anyway, thank you both, and thank you everybody for listening, and hope you enjoyed our Parsons Mead reunion podcast. See you next time. Bye.